Welcome to Gnostic Insights. My name is Dr. Sid Ropp, and I'm your host. Today, I'd like to share with you a basic concept that actually comes out of my own simple explanation of absolutely everything. And this idea is the thing upon which I built my entire theory of everything. And then this carries over into my Gnostic studies and actually informs my reading of the Nag Hammadi as well. One day when I was at the river up in Oregon, I was thinking about how is it that our human body interacts with God, basically? Where is the interface? How does that interface work between the eternal consciousness of the Father and my own little human body? And then how does my body relate to me, to myself, to my soul or my ego? Or my spirit. So what are these interfaces? And this basic phrase came to my mind, and it was this: mud up, spirit down. Pretty simple. Mud up, spirit down. So the spirit of the Father, generally I think of as overhead, don't you? Don't you think of heaven as up? Or the Father in the Pleroma as up. And beneath my feet, the atoms and molecules that make me up, this is then the mud. So it's down, right? The earth is below us and the sky is above us. Mud up, spirit down. So I walked around for a couple of years just thinking mud up, spirit down. Not wondering about it, not trying to work it out, just with that phrase in my mind. And then a few years later, after I had moved to Ashland, Oregon, and began to run my bed and breakfast there, the rest of the simple explanation of absolutely everything came to me. Actually, it was while I was dealing with all of the fruit salads that one makes for a bed and breakfast, because each breakfast began with a really gorgeous fruit salad with lots of different fruits in it. So after working with fruit for a couple of years, thinking mud up, spirit down, I began to see that torus pattern that makes up all of the fruit. You know, that torus is the donut shape, right? That's a geometrical form, just the way a triangle or a pyramid is a form, or a circle or a sphere is a form. The donut is a form as well, and it's called a torus, T-O-R-U-S. And I began to notice that the fruits, the way they are, if you cut an apple in half, or if you cut an orange in half, you cut a watermelon in half, it doesn't matter what kind of fruit it is, even a banana, all of the fruit are a torus shape with the central core, like an apple, the seeds that are springing out of the middle, that's that center point of the torus. And then those seeds kind of peter out into the meat, and the meat part of the fruit is the body of the torus, the inside of that donut structure, and then you have the skin of the fruit around the outside of that, and that is the outside surface of the torus. Well, that's all it took. Mud up, spirit down, and fruit salads to come up with the simple explanation of absolutely everything. So I wanted to share with you today one of my first articles on the Simple Explanation blog, which is from June 7th of 2010. And it's called Myself, the Governor of Whoville. And this is a very seminal and important concept to the simple explanation, and I think it applies very well to our Gnostic studies as well. So here is a concept that doesn't come out of the Nag Hammadi. However, it can go into the Nag Hammadi, if you get what I mean. So I call it Myself, the Governor of Whoville. And you know, Whoville is a reference to a Dr. Seuss book, Horton Hears a Who. And if you've never read Horton Hears a Who, it's about an elephant with really good hearing. And one day he noticed that a little grain of dust that was sitting on a flower, I believe, he could hear voices coming from it. And in the story, as Dr. Seuss drilled down smaller and smaller into that grain of dust, it turned out that that grain of dust was an entire world. And there were all kinds of little beings living on that world. And the place was called Whoville. And the citizens who lived in Whoville, of course, were Whos. So Horton was the elephant who hears a who. So this is why I call myself the Governor of Whoville. Let me share that with you. My simple explanation has a different way of conceiving of the way that our material universe goes together. You know, facts are one thing, but narratives are another, right? Facts are facts. But the way you string the facts together is the story that you tell about those facts. And the way you string a story together is called a narrative. I think of our material universe, that is the mud, I think of it as nesting groups of cooperative structures, no matter what those structures are. So you've heard me many times now on Gnostic Insights talk about the simple golden rule. And that is this, that anything, and I mean anything, whether it's a human or a cell or an organ or an ant or even a molecule or an atom, what everything does, what every discrete unit in our universe does, it reaches out to its neighbors, that is, those right around it, and it holds hands. If it's a human, it holds hands, but if it's a molecule, this is a metaphorical holding hands, with its neighbors. And together, they work on a structure that none of them could build by themselves. And I think of these structures as donut shapes. So imagine a circle of people, let's say, holding hands, all facing in towards the middle. And metaphorically, they are going to work on a project that is at the middle of that donut. They're working together. They have to share information with each other. They have to share assistance, physical assistance with each other. And they have to share love. And what I call love in the simple explanation is the concept of coherence, of holding together. Love binds things together. So anyway, the simple golden rule is holding hands with your neighbors, working on a central project that none of you could do on your own. It takes all of you to share information, assistance, and love or coherence to build the next level up. Because when you build that structure in the middle, it's a new thing that's actually greater than all of you. It's greater than the sum of your parts. So atoms hold hands and they level up to make a molecule. Molecules hold hands and they level up to make elements. Cells hold hands and they level up to make organs. Organs hold hands and they level up to make organ systems. Organ systems hold hands and they level up to make that organism. And then organisms hold hands and they make societies and families and cities. So everything in our universe actually levels up. the planet levels up with its other planets around the sun, and all together they form a solar system. All of the solar systems hold hands, level up, and they form galaxies. So it works like this. Everything, no matter the scale, holds hands with its neighbors, shares information, assistance, and coherence on a central concentrated project that is then greater than all of them together. I have a diagram that illustrates this, and the diagram looks like a pyramid. It's hierarchical, and down at the bottom, you've got the subatomic particles and waves, and then they hold hands and level up to make molecules and atoms. There's a jump between the mud and the meat. Meat is any living thing. Mud is the inert material up to the level of the elements and the aggregates of elements that we call minerals. That's the mud. So you know intuitively that there's a difference between mud and meat. That jump between mud and meat, now that we're into the Gnostic studies, we know that that jump is when the Holy Spirit comes in and infuses the mud with life. People who want to call that life force Sophia, you could simply call the life force the Holy Spirit, because our entire universe is made up of all of these smaller structures reaching out, holding hands, and leveling up. And the biggest level that we are personally in touch with is our universal level. There is a universal Taurus, of which all of our universal material components are a part. So my diagram shows that. It shows all of the various constituents of the universe leveling up. And I'll put that diagram on the Gnostic Insights website, the post that I'll put up with this podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast on a podcast source that's audio only, in order to see the diagrams that accompany this talk, you can go to GnosticInsights.com, and the name of this episode is Mud Up, Spirit Down. Or you can just go back to the simple explanation, asimpleexplanation.blogspot.com, to find the original blog and the articles there. So again, this one's from June 7, 2010. And here's what it says, and I'm going to interrupt it now and then in order to explain things in a Gnostic manner, to translate it over. My body is a veritable galaxy of units of consciousness working to instantiate me. See, if the Father is the ground state of consciousness, the basic matrix upon which everything comes, and this is what the Nag Hammadi indicates, particularly the tripartite tractate book in the Nag Hammadi. The Father is the ground state, and everything derives from the Father. The first differentiation was the sun, and then the sun differentiated into all of the rays of itself, and those are the eons of the Pleroma. And then the Pleroma fruited and sent the second order powers into this earth after it had been formed because of the fall. By now you should know what all of that means if you've been following along in the Gnostic Insights podcast. If you don't know what any of that means, you need to back up and go to the Gnostic Insights website, find the Gnostic Primer tab, and get your basic grounding in those first eight lessons. So, backing up again, the units of consciousness then, if the Father is consciousness itself, you could say that the Son is the first unit of consciousness. That is a singularity of consciousness with a boundary. And then that sun fruited itself into all of the rays of itself, and those are each one also a unit of consciousness. So every eon is a unit of consciousness. Everything that contains the consciousness of the Father is a unit of consciousness. So, back to the article. As you can see by the above diagram, that's that hierarchical diagram of our material universe, The simpler the unit of consciousness, the more of them there are. So there are way more subatomic particles and waves than there are atoms, and there's way more atoms than there are molecules. There's way more molecules than there are elements, because every time you stand in a circle with your neighbors and you level up, you go from many to one product in the middle. And then those products hold hands and level up to the next product. So the higher, the fewer. So the simpler the unit of consciousness, the more of them there are. While there is only one me, my body is comprised of 11 organ systems made up of 78 organs, which are in turn comprised of, oh, somewhere between 30 and 50 trillion specialized cells. And those cells are made up of such a large number of atom and molecules that when I look it up online, I don't understand how to read or write those kinds of numbers. They're odd-looking numbers, and I'm not a mathematician, so just imagine huge number of atoms and molecules in our bodies. The more organized and complex the unit of consciousness, the fewer of them there are. Note that the mind, or ordinary consciousness, as well as the subconscious, are artifacts of the organ systems, the organs and cells that make up my body. In other words, the mind is the meat's thought process, not the self's. And now, as I've been developing the Gnostic Insights cosmology, my ordinary walking around mind is what we would ordinarily call our ego, right? We know our self is a pure fractal of the Son of God and the Pleroma. The self is a self that we all share. It is a reflection, a perfect fractal of the One. So we all share that One in common, that self. And it looks a lot like the Sun. And, you know, the Pleroma looks a lot like the Sun because the Pleroma sits within the body of the Sun, the S-O-N, Sun. So the Sun wears the Pleroma like a garment, it says in the tripartite tractate. And the Pleroma wears the Sun. So they're coexistent. The ego happens down here. The ego came alive during the fall when Logos, the eon named Logos, fell away from the Pleroma. It created this material universe. This material universe is the mud. And when the Demiurge was creating heaven and earth, much to the Demiurge's frustration, it could not make its creatures come alive. It could fashion a creature lying on the ground like a model made out of clay, but it couldn't get it to come alive and to walk around. And that is the difference between mud and meat. The Demiurge can make mud, but the Demiurge can't make meat. The Demiurge requires the Holy Spirit to come into the mud in order to animate the mud. Now, there's fables or stories around how that happened, and that is when people generally say that Sophia came in and mated and created life. You can put it that way if you'd like. So the mind or ordinary consciousness, what we call the ego, is actually attached to the mud and the meat, but it's not from above. It didn't exist as a separate entity from the self. In the Pleroma, the eons do have an ego, but the point of their ego is simply an identification of their place, station, duties, and names in the hierarchy. But it doesn't give them separate thoughts. the way our egos give us separate thoughts. So our egos have differentiated from our self. If we all have the one self, each of our egos is the part of our consciousness now that interfaces with the world around us and with others. So it does the same thing that the eons egos did, which is to tell us our name, our place, our station. It's our personality holder. But it also, our egos plug into this world around us that we find ourselves in. And it's our ego that navigates this material space, works with our neighbors, decides what it likes and what it doesn't like. All the various tasks that we find ourselves partaking in, our egos are part of that task as we interface with the world around us. But when we go inward in meditation, in prayer, we are attempting to move away from that ego, which sits on that outside skin, like the skin of the orange or the skin of the apple. The outside of the torus is where your ego lives, because it interfaces with the outside. And the self, the one self that we all share, it's at the center of the torus. It's in the very middle, and it is identical to everyone else's self. My self, unit of consciousness, sits at the top of the hierarchical mountain of countless units of consciousness, all working to instantiate my body. So while I may believe that I am the only conscious entity inhabiting this body of mine, my physical body is actually home to all of these aggregated units of consciousness, each with their own jobs to perform, and each laying down their own karmic record. Lucky for me, their job is to hold me together and to facilitate this life of mine, and they generally go along with the program and do a good job. So you see, okay, jumping out of the article again, when I think of my meat mountain or Whoville, I think of myself, that one that connects with God, the spirit up. If I think of myself as a triangular shape, because my constituent parts are a hierarchy, with the subatomic particles at the bottom of the hierarchy, and then leveling up, leveling up, leveling up through my organ systems, and then to make me, my self, my one self that reflects the self of the Father and the Son and the Pleroma, it sits right on top of my meat mountain. The way, by the way, Logos sat atop the hierarchy of the Pleroma. That's where my self sits. Or that's where it should sit. Most of us think, though, that our ego sits on top of our meat mountain, on top of Whoville. Most people allow their egos to completely navigate their lives. But it seems to me that the way we are designed, if this were a righteous and holy world, would be rather than our ego sitting at the top of our meat mountain, our self sits at the top of the meat mountain. So I am not a singular consciousness. I am not a singular thing, is what basically I'm trying to say. My meat mountain, down below this singular identity of my ego, is comprised of all of these different units of consciousness, each holding hands and leveling up, leveling up. And each of these levels of consciousness has their own unit of consciousness that is separate from mine. So each cell is a little unit of consciousness. And it's got its own little self sitting on top of its own little meat mountain made out of the constituencies of its cell. And then those cells hold hands, the cells that are alike. So my skin cells, let's say, each of one of these skin cells is a unit of consciousness. And it reaches out to the other skin cells and they hold hands and they share information. They share assistance. They share coherence. And together, they level up to make the organ known as skin. Same thing with my heart cells. They hold hands with each other, but only with heart cells, because those are their neighbors, and they level up and become the heart organ. This is the way it happens with each of the organs in our body. All of the cells that make up each kind of organ, they hold hands with each other, and they cooperate to build that organ. And then you have all these various organs, and they hold hands together. They cooperate with information, with assistance, with love, and they level up to form the body itself, to form the entire meat mountain. The job of the ego is to walk around with Meat Mountain and feed it. Meat Mountain has demands. It wants food. It wants sleep. It wants sex. It wants activity. And the job of the ego is to help that Meat Mountain navigate through this world. I told you, it's a whole different way of thinking of how things go together. It might be difficult this time through if this is a brand new concept to you. Let it sit for a while. It took me a couple of years of just thinking mud up, spirit down to get this concept. And then it took me another few years of slicing fruit for the fruit salad to see how everything is a torus shape and everything comes together in that way. Lucky for me, the job of all of these different parts of my body is to keep me alive. So what I would like from you today is to stop thinking of yourself as a singular entity. Because what you are, you're merely the Raja sitting on top of the elephant of Meat Mountain. Your ego's job is to cooperate with your meat, to navigate through this world, to help you stay alive, to help feed its needs. But you do have a say-so. Here's another part I wanted to get across today. If you begin to think of yourself as having all of these units of consciousness inside of you, like Whoville, it's like Horton hears a who. Your ego can sit up here and it can hear your body's demands. Oh, I'm hungry, says the stomach. And the ego says, well, let me go see what I've got in the cupboard. I want sex, says your sex organs. And your ego says, well, let's see if I can score some sex for us. But you sit higher in the hierarchy than do those organ systems. And so you don't want your organs to run the show. Your ego should be taking instructions from the self. Your ego shouldn't merely be plugged into the world around you. Your ego should also be listening to the one self, the spirit down. And when you allow that extra level, and this is what it is to be a spiritual person, if you allow that extra level of spirit, of the self with a capital S, to inform and give guidance to your ego, then you can make wise decisions on behalf of your meat mountain. If you let your meat guide your activities in the world around you, this is being a materialist. This is being a self-centered. See, the point of the ego is only to take care of you. The point of the ego is not to take care of anybody else but you. Its job is entirely focused on the body that it represents. It requires an acknowledgement of spirit to think of others, because we all share the one self coming down from the Father. So when you acknowledge the Father, the Son, the Pleroma, as part of your existence in this material world, then you're not just an egoic self guiding your organ systems, trying to get everything you can, and to heck with everybody else. When you allow yourself to inform your ego, then your ego can be a wise ruler of this kingdom of Whoville that sits underneath it. So what I'd like you to start thinking about is that your entire body is comprised of individual units of consciousness, all working their best to keep you alive, and that it's your job to be a wise ruler, to be kind and beneficent to your own Whoville, to your own Meat Mountain. Spirit up. This is where you get the wisdom to be a wise ruler of Whoville. And the more wisdom you pour down from above onto your Meat Mountain, the healthier you will be. When our self is plugged into the spirit above, it elevates our entire body to a healthier state because things are in balance. It's a hierarchy. Everyone knows their job. Everyone does their job. Your Meat Mountain is a cooperative hierarchy that is a pure reflection of the Pleroma above. You could even think of all of those cells in your body, all of the living parts of your body, the meat. They are all reflective of the hierarchy of the Pleroma. Each one of those little cells is like an eon, and it wants to do a good job. It wants to be in communion with the Father. Until next time, God bless you, and onward and upward.